pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text I need to be in touch with the program. Just hit me up there, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So to come, we'll hear from Larry Stutz. He's the state senator from the Shoals. We'll hear from him here in just a bit. There are a few texts to get to. Fire dog, snowstorm, milk, toilet paper, and bread. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Yeah, so everybody's like, oh no, the snow's coming. I need to get back home. So yeah, lawmakers from all over the state, and I guess other areas, regions of the state will be impacted more than we will. It's kind of funny hearing the business of, like, you know, the non-political business of what's going on around Alabama all in the same place. That is what goes on here sometimes. See here, Don Lemon needs to be held accountable for far more than this latest incident to church. He's been spreading fake news his entire career. It thrives off of being a bad actor. Well, he's paid the price. He's lost jobs. They tried him at other networks, and it didn't work out. He'll be a guest from time to time on, like, MS Now, but he's living off his former stardom. Brandon, need to learn how to shoot threes again. Yeah, I agree with that. Those of you talking about Auburn basketball, just watching the game last night, and although it was a victory and it was a good win, the shooting was not where it needed to be. Dan, his Aldott stance is a little slow pulling up here, given we are in the state house. The internet is not cooperating, so I wish I could read the rest of this text, but it's not pulling up. Anyway, if you want to try to get in, 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you reach me, and hopefully we could get to more of your text here shortly. There's a one other bill I need to bring up that the legislature, or the University of Alabama has a school of social work, as if we needed social work. Well, maybe you do, but what it has, I guess, intended to be and what it has become are two different things. So, sure, if you have social workers who are like DHR employees or, you know, nutrition assistants, speech therapist, that kind of social work is what we would think. But they have taken it to in a completely different direction. It's like the School of Social Engineering work. So the Alabama House of Representatives is just going to pass a law telling the University of Alabama they can't have this anymore. Because the curriculum is so far out there. All right, got it back up here. Dan writes, his outside sense is one more reason I wish Ainsworth was going to be our next governor. I still think he's got a shot at coming back here in 4 years. Keep Alabama moving. But I tell y'all guys this, and we've been talking about it, once he leaves office and working him into the rotation somehow on a weekly basis, just to kind of have, you know, discussions about what's going on. At least it would keep him, he's already kind of familiar to a lot of people, but at least in our listening audience, I think, assuming I'm still on the air, you never know when that might come to an abrupt ending, but We're going to try to, once he leaves office next year, try to make him a regular feature on the Jeff Poor Show. So that should be good. Then one more. Mike here writes, my favorite Trump line today was, without us, you'd all be speaking German and a little bit of Japanese, perhaps. There's nothing else that needed to be said to that whiny NATO socialist. I was actually watching that this morning, too. It's always funny to watch Trump interact with, these global elitists. You're just in the global elitist hotspot. Everybody who's anybody is there. And their central focus, they look at the big picture, is trying to wind down this sort of global populism. If you look around, there's not, some of this is spurred on by immigration and the rejection of the existing cultures. And the elitists of these nations tell them there's nothing you can do about it. We're not going to have hate crimes or whatever it may be. We're not going to do that. And it's causing a lot of political upheaval. And these guys, that when they meet, here's what they talk about. They say, well, what can we do to, like, stymie this? How do we keep guys like Trump or Malay or, you know, whoever it may be? Because the media will call these people far right. Far right as if it's a continuum along a single line, but it's more complicated than that. It's not far right. It's a different sort of, it's not fascism in a traditional European sense of fascism, not, you know, the sort of governing theory of Mussolini or whoever. That's far right. And they're equating that of the 20th century with what's going on now. It is just a total, it's a misperception they're trying to create about the political upheaval around the world. And this is what they do. They sit around at Davos and talk about, well, what do we need to do to get this back under wraps. One more from Mike here. Saturday is going to be really fun in Gainesville. Also, I wish Ainsworth would still be a part of the government with Coach. He's one of the most solid statewide politicians we have. Hopefully, he will have a big role in Coach's administration. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Ainsworth's pretty set on this policy organization he's creating, moving Alabama forward. Also, the depends on the obligations, but I think there's ways to help Coach from the outside, and I'm kind of down with this idea. Saturday in Gainesville, Florida's playing well. We were going to go to that game. I haven't been to a few football games. I've never been to a basketball game, but the game we're interested in, and some of you Tennessee fans can coach me up here. I think I'm going to take the little guy to Thompson Bowling Arena here in a couple of weeks, about 10 days or so. We're going to that game, Auburn. I got tickets, but it came down to either going to Auburn, Florida in Gainesville or Auburn, Tennessee in Knoxville, and we opted for Knoxville. Part of his, he just turned 5, so this was kind of his birthday present. But we're also on the way there. There's the Braves Fest, and get to see. You get to, I guess, get autographs or a picture or something. And his favorite player, it's not Ronald Acuna on the Braves. It's Michael Harris. So we got tickets to see Michael Harris. It's very exciting for a 5-year-old. Another one of these father-son trips that we go on a couple times a month. But we were going to go, Mike, to Gainesville. We're going to save that Gainesville trip for later. I think the Swamp is way more of an impressionable institution. I mean, obviously, Neyland Stadium is very impressionable in Knoxville, but as far as, like, places, you know, just to go check off the list, we opted for UT over Florida just to go to. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. 251-343-0106 if you want to be in touch with the program. Something Dale Jackson, I was on his program this morning, and I want to bring it up. And how many of you play the prediction markets? Is this something the state hasn't really, you don't hear many lawmakers or anybody in the attorney general's office really clamoring to do something to at least scrutinize it? And I think it was Anthony Daniels who is talking about this and how you have these prediction markets that are essentially betting on sports, but it's done in a way that gets around. It's not just a straight up bet. It's market based. And is that a game of skill, a game of chance, or is it not a game at all? I don't think, you know, if you look at it, it may not be a game at all. Daniels, the minority leader, says, there's never been closed because we've never addressed it. It's legislatively to stop it from happening. Let's see here. It's just that by adding sports to it, it creates another loophole. It's already having people in Alabama are already doing it in other places. The states are not receiving benefits. The federal government is, but states are not. So it's getting taxed. But that's the preferred, apparently preferred, according to the Gambling Insider magazine, and I'm getting this from Yellowhammer News, that since gambling is illegal in Alabama, the way people are betting on sports is through these prediction markets. I follow it only because I'm a fan and I'm interested in seeing how that goes and who people think will win. And the way it works, essentially, if you're not really into this, it's the beginning of the season and you could buy, think of it as a stock or some kind of equity in the future of Indiana football, which at the beginning of the season, you probably could have bought it at a very low price. Once they start rattling off wins, that ownership of that prediction starts to increase in value. And it continues to go up and up and up and up until they win the national championship, then you cash it in. But prediction markets, and they do this in, they do it in politics. They were doing it in politics, and regulators kind of got into it. And I think that was the predicate for this, that you were able to bet on or you were able to place a investment, let's say, in the future of Hillary Clinton's presidential chances, and you would have bought in way too high, no matter what the price point was. But throughout the process and throughout the season, you could sell this prediction. You could sell it back, and you could trade them. And that's the way sports gambling is kind of getting around any of the laws in Alabama. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. Tomorrow, April Marie Fogle, I don't know who she has lined up. I may have to work with her a little bit on that, but that's coming up tomorrow. She'll be filling in for me as I try to put a finishing touch on my duties here in Montgomery. And nonetheless, we'll be back on Friday, and I believe we have, obviously, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, Josh McKee, candidate for House in the first congressional district, and then our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be with us on Friday. So I hate that I'm missing tomorrow, and we'll try to do better next time. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with the show, you know the drill, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program today, State Senator Larry Stutz will make time for us. And we'll talk. You know, I say this about Senator Stutz, and I'm going to ask him this. It's almost like I told you so. Medical marijuana, how's that going? And he was the most outspoken critic of Alabama's medical marijuana structure. He was against it, but he was also very outspoken about how it was being implemented. So the question I would have, how many years has it been? And not a single prescription has been written in Alabama yet. It's been tied up in court. It's just been a train wreck. So this was passed, what, in 2021? It is 2026. It's been 5 years. Just like with anything in this state. And it's all this, guys. This is pushed through with the idea that we needed to be more compassionate. People were really suffering. People really needed this as medicine. It was going to make it was preferable over some of the pharmaceuticals. This was something we needed to do just to better human life. And what it's turned into, and I'm not, you know, I know we get a text or two, well, it does. Okay, fine. But what it's ended up doing is it's just been a big mess. And it looks like every business is trying to get its foot in the door with the possibility of recreational marijuana someday and get into the business, the marketplace in Alabama. This is very, very, very strictly regulated, and it is going to be, you ever do get recreational marijuana, let's say it happens at the federal level, but they leave it up to the states to regulate. And it's going to be, this is what's held this back. It's a cash grab. It's vulgar. He said, I have my questions about it. But the state and how it's going to make money, picking winners and losers. But it was Stutz who said all along, like, this isn't going to work. And we'll talk to him about that and what he thinks of how that's proceeding, which is not very well. It's embarrassing. Also, there's a lieutenant governor's debate last night in Hoover, I'm told. And that still looks like Wes Allen's to lose. Rick Pate qualified, so he's going to go through with it and run for lieutenant governor if he can make that close or not. We'll see. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was is gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'll wait to rival Senator Stutz if he makes it. That'd be great if he had. The business of the legislature is as such today. So we booked today's show, just to give you a little insider information here. We booked today's show. I think some of the lawmakers I had booked assumed that the calendar, the committee schedule, would be the same as it had been in the past. You know, in education policy meets at 9 or whatever. And, you know, we always do it that way. It's, you know, but this year they have shuffled some of the schedules. And when I got the commitments for today's show, as it turned out, the committees were meeting at the same time as these interviews were to take place. And unfortunately for the Jeff Porch Show, committee hearings and meetings take precedent over whatever silliness I have for them. So that's what we're running into here. 251-343-0106. I was at the debate last night. It was pretty uneventful until Odell called out Allen for voting for the gas tax as its state representative. Then Allen refused to offer rebuttal and said he will not be responding to Odell's nonsense and that he lost all credibility with his flat earth crap. Then all hell broke loose, complete clown show, if you ask me. And he's, what do we think of Dean Odell? He stirs the pot. I've been at events where Dean Odell had been asked to leave. But interesting guy in Alabama politics, and absolutely we'll get him on. I've had a good relationship with him, so looking forward to that discussion. Unnamed texter, the Vikings say it's perfect for liberals and Somalians. Rated steel. We should trade Minnesota and Vermont for Alberta. Thanks. Culturally, maybe you're right. In some ways, Minneapolis and St. Paul do feel like Canadian cities. If you ever spent time in Canada or up north, now I've not spent much time in Vermont, but they do have those philosophical leanings that would make one think that it's more Canadian than American. But seems to work for those guys. I don't know. So 251-343-0106. Another kind of interesting news story here from my 1819 colleague Caleb Taylor. Headline, Senate committee passes bill allowing possible special primary elections post SCOTUS redistrict ruling. Well, so the Louisiana case, you've heard a lot about the Louisiana case. And essentially, the federal courts they had to create an opportunity district. But now, if you're familiar with the state of Louisiana and its congressional districts, they had to create a congressional map with two minority districts, sort of like what Alabama has. I think they have six districts. You have the one that's kind of most of New Orleans. You have another that's parts of New Orleans into Baton Rouge. You have another that is the most of the coastline. And then you have, you know, four and five, which are just kind of the northern to northwestern and northeastern corners of the state. But then you have the sixth congressional district in Louisiana that incorporates parts of Baton Rouge, and it's cut like a sliver up to the middle of the state, and it gets parts of Shreveport. And that's what's being heard. It's a very strange map. If you just Google it, you look at it, and they had to like really lasso in a lot of different communities of Louisiana to create a minority district. That's being heard by the Supreme Court. The idea that you use race to draw congressional districts has always been something that's been rejected by the DOJ and the courts. Now they want to, that's being challenged, and there's a good chance that could get, the way Louisiana has done it, could get struck down by the courts, which would impact Alabama because we have a similar circumstance here with the second congressional district. If that's the case, you've already had your qualifying and your primaries. What do you just have to suck it up at 26 and roll through it? And Senator Gudger spearheaded this, but the bill would, in the event of a Supreme Court decision, if the legislature's called back into session to redistrict, and I think that Trump and the national Republicans would lean on Alabama in the event of that. To redraw the districts to something that's more friendly for Republicans, what is the process for the nominees? How will we get them? And you'll have to, the idea here is they have a law now. Elliot was speaking at a committee hearing on this yesterday. It would require the holding of a special primary if a court order is issued, required, or allowed for the changing of a congressional or state legislative district at a point in time too late to be accommodated in a normal primary schedule. It creates an additional window of approximately 100 days and only requires a special primary be held in the affected district, and it requires any special primary to be completed by the 1st of September. The bill will allow more flexibility to adjust or return to the original district's post-ruling from the Supreme Court in the Louisiana case. While we wait on that ruling, if there's any change there, it allows us some flexibility to deal with what the change may be. And it all comes down to the second congressional district and Shamari figures. As right now, we have Hampton Harris, who's qualified for that race on the Republican side. I haven't checked the list in a little while. But, Republicans are kind of turning their nose up at it. They're not interested. You have a ton of candidates running for the first congressional district. You have Jerry Carl, Jimmy Deese, Brent Marquez, Joshua McKee, John Mills, James Richardson, but only one qualified for the second, Hampton Harris. Just looking at this now. Terry LaPointe and Mike is challenging Mike Rogers. We got Adderholt, Tommy Barnes in the fourth. Dale Strong unopposed in the Republican primary to date. Case Dixon challenging Gary Palmer in the sixth. And no one has signed up to run as a Republican in Terry Sewell's district. So there you have it. Jody's here better late than never is our good friend. It sounded like you said a little out of breath there, Senator, but State Senator Larry Stutz is here with us. Senator, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I apologize for being late. I got engrossed in a discussion in the General Fund Budget Committee and thought I was keeping up with the time, and looked down at my watch and realized I had let the time slip away.
It's all fine. We got a little time here. What I want to ask you is kind of talk to the audience about this. The you ever feel like you need to say, I told you so on medical marijuana? Here it is, 2026. And that passed in what, 2021? Five years ago.
Just 5 years ago.
And it's been a disaster. And the reason it's a disaster is all these players want to come in, I guess, get in on the business model in the event that we ever do have recreational marijuana for whatever reason, but they want to have their foot in the door, and it's really just really ruined whatever good faith there was, I think, with this whole idea.
Well, I really didn't. I have voted against any bill that had anything to do with that every time it's come up, because I think the potential for corruption, the starting down the path to legalizing recreational marijuana, I mean, if you want to be a medicine, go through the normal process of being approved, and we have medicines that are approved that have THC in them. But this broad category of all these things, from back pain to depression to PMS and all these things that will qualify you for a cannabis card, those are such broad general categories. And I have a family member that grew up in Colorado, and he says that basically the medical marijuana, legalized marijuana, that anybody that wanted a cannabis card could get one. And that's the way it is. These categories are so broad and general for a reason.
Yeah, that's just the way it looks. But, it has been just a food fight to get this off the ground. You kind of called it, thought I would make mention of that. Hey, what do you make, and trying to hurry through some of this. The Huntsville Hospital System has acquired some new property. There sort of seems to be a consolidation of hospitals, or at least hospital systems, I guess. And I think I heard you talking about it a little bit yesterday. What do you make of it? I know there's a certificate of need element to this discussion, but way this trend is going, is this good or bad?
I think overall bad for a variety of reasons. One hospital system calls all the shots, and it's not necessarily good for, I understand the resources that they bring, and everybody doesn't know. The hospital that I practiced in when I retired is affiliated with Huntsville Hospital, and they brought some tremendous resources in, some equipment in, but the bottom line is they also set the pay scale, and we're look at Crestwood and Huntsville. The nurses are at Crestwood are paid more than the nurses at Huntsville Hospital. That trend's probably not going to continue. So when you take anybody's choices out of where they go as a patient, where they work, for physicians, you've only got one hospital system now that you can practice in. Taking away those options and consolidating the market like that, in the long run, I don't think is a good thing.
No, and healthcare is very important to people, and we talk about rural health care a lot in this state, but everything seems to be kind of coalescing around just a few big players, and I get you're right about the resources, but are we going to be like under one hospital umbrella someday in this state, or two or three, and that has an impact on the marketplace?
Oh, absolutely. And it's University of South Alabama, UAB, Huntsville Hospital. There are three big players in the state right now. And said, and it's not just rural. The other hospitals are caught in the middle of that as well. Well,
they're struggling here in Montgomery with Jackson Hospital. That's a disaster. I guess that's the way it is for now. And if that ever comes to be a bigger problem, what needs to be done there? What's the trend? Is long-term trend doesn't seem to be good.
Well, that's the other problem with the CON law, and you kind of mentioned that, is when you get control of the market of a big area, you know, anybody that, say, wanted to build, we'll just pick Huntsville since that's the one you brought up, anybody that wanted to build a new healthcare facility in the Huntsville market, Huntsville Hospital can object to their CON and basically block them completely out of the market. And now they can object with multiple sites of, you know, of Crestwood can object, Huntsville Hospital can object, Madison can object. And so you just surround an area with people that have the ability to keep anybody else from coming into the area.
It's just like they're conquering territory on a map. And the map, the territory, they buy a property and it seems to sell through, and they get that territory where they can keep other players out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least I don't think it's a good trend either. But I that's just kind of a layman's view of what's going on. Hey, I need to ask you this. I've been asking everybody who's come on the show. You think about this building you're gonna miss? You can say no.
Just the familiarity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a career Montgomery person, but this is the only place that I've ever been. And, you know, I know where the bathrooms are and where the committee rooms are. And it absolutely is outdated and unsafe probably in some areas. It was never designed for what it's used for, so it's inaccessible in a lot of areas for the general public. So, yeah, actually, I haven't seen the new building, but I'm going over there to see it at 3 o'clock today. But so I will see it. But the bottom line is we do need an update, but just the familiarity of this building and the history behind it.
Do you ever get the ailments that some get from spending time here?
No, I guess I started to say I'm going to miss all the mold, but
I'm feeling it today. It's the second day in a row here, and I'm feeling it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it always happens. You know, I try to spend only a day a week here during session, but this week is my week, and I can definitely feel it. It's not like a fairy tale. There's something, whatever that is, that's giving you the sniffles.
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. So, well, if you've been stayed from that, then good. Hey, let's get a break in here. We got a few more minutes with Senator Stutz. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And it probably always will. And on the old school ways I repair up here. We got Rebel Facts, Blind, and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow in the
middle. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Wednesday. Tomorrow on the program, you get April Murray Fogel. I'll be back on Friday with Todd Stacey, Joshua McKee, and Chris Elliott, our returning champion. So please tune in tomorrow, but also tune in on Friday. Just a couple more minutes here with Senator Stutz. Real quick, you and I were talking about it off air. You are in a Senator Orr has a bill that wants to change the qualifications for SNAP benefits, and that's what's going on now. Where are we on that, and what do we need to know?
Well, the bill was in committee this morning, and I said that's why I was late. I got real engrossed in the discussion on the bill and asking some questions about it. And Senator Orr is providentially hindered from being here today. They had a death in the family, and so he's not here to carry the bill and answer questions about it. But anyway, the bill basically just tightens up the requirements. It shortens the period of time for when you have to recertify. And DHR is opposed to that because it gives them more work of having to recertify people sooner. But our error rate is about 9% in relation to the fraud, abuse, error, this discussion that's going on nationwide. And Alabama's rate's about 9%, and they feel good about that. I think that's way too high. You know, and these programs like SNAP, whatever, I mean, they're meant to be not a safety net. People call them a safety net. You can fall into a safety net and lay there forever. you know, it should be a trampoline that you fall down and you bounce off of that and you get back on your feet and keep moving, and not just a safety net that you can fall into and stay there. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like an overdue thing that's been long needed to be done, at least some scrutiny to that. Senator, we got to get out of here, but I do appreciate you stopping by. Next time, we'll try to get it. We have a little more time to talk about.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, and I apologize again for being late.
It's all good. I know how busy things can get around here. I got to get out of here. That's it for me. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.